Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 305, McMonagle here with you. Right here on The Fan, 888-808-1019. We opened up with the Giants because it was just a debacle. I mean, I know they played a better game, but it's just a debacle. And can I say something else, too, about Graham Gano, just for a second? And it's inexcusable not to have a backup plan. It's inexcusable to have a kicker who is grimacing during the warm-ups on Sunday and not have a backup plan for him. It's inexcusable. But can I also say this, and I know this is going to be counterproductive, or I shouldn't, maybe that's not the right term. It's going to be contrary to popular opinion. We want to see guys hustle. If you are a kicker, right, and you know you have a groin injury, and you know they don't have anybody else to kick, why in the world, when you know you have a 0% chance, once he gets past you, he's gone. Why in the world are you turning and sprinting full speed to try and catch a kick returner when he's already gone? You're not going to catch him, Graham. Let me give you a hint. Like I know we want to say guys should hustle. I get it, especially in it's a conversation around the New York Yankees a lot. But like you want to see guys play hard. Don't, of course. But, like, if you know you're injured and you're already 10 yards behind a guy who's way faster than you, like, I'm not saying don't try and make a tackle. Don't try and stick your nose in there. He tried to make a tackle. You know, he did what kickers do. He got beat. Okay. Once he's behind you, you know you have a groin injury. What are you doing? Just, I mean, and that's just a small, but it's just another thing that just bothers me. But enough losing. Enough losing. Let's talk about a victory with the New York Jets. Now, I know, obviously, a big story coming out of this is Jermaine Johnson suffers a torn Achilles. Devastating injury for a guy who was really all over the field having a great game. Having a great game against this, you know, Titans team that played relatively, you know, okay. They might be better than we thought. The run game is still pretty good. Will Levis is capable of making plays, but he just does some of the dumber things you've ever seen. But this Jet team does enough to get a victory, didn't play particularly well, and didn't answer all the questions. I thought Aaron Rodgers, to start the game, the offense looked slow to start the game. The tempo, I still think the play calling is very blah, is very unimaginative, is very uncreative. It's very simple to start these games. Both of these games, they start out very, very passive to start the games. And there was something with the timing. They were slow to the line. I thought in the first half, I was concerned about Aaron Rodgers' health almost because it just felt like there was no pep to the step at any point. Not even like during the play, pre-play. Hustling to the line, like it just looked. There was a couple of delayed penalty, like a couple of delayed games, like it just looked like they were off offensively to start this game and defensively. I mean, yeah, they got after the rush, Levis a little bit. They made plays. They got a couple turnovers, but still, and they made the final stand at the end of the game to win the game. But this defense still does not look like a group that is capable of being a Super Bowl defense, which is what we talked about. I mean, that's what the Jets, here's the standard of the New York Jets. Yes, they want a game on the road in the NFL. It's not easy to do. Yes, Tennessee is not a pushover, although the Jets are clearly better. They won this game by a touchdown. They did what they had to do offensively. And I think we're seeing, I'm going to get to it in a second, a game plan for this Jet team that can help with its offense. And an addition of Allen, the running back, and how the load he can be and what he could be to kind of like the thunder and lightning and allow Breece Hall to be more active in the passing game and give him a spell, because, you know, they use that part of their game so much, and Breece Hall has been used so heavily in the first two games. If they can feel like Allen's a good change of pace, it might not be your favorite thing for us fantasy owners of Breece Hall, but I think it is an element to the game that will really dramatically help Breece Hall's impact despite less snaps. I honestly believe that. But ultimately, this team is judged, and I know it's unfair for a team that, or it's not unfair in my estimation, but it's unique, let's say, for a team that hasn't made the postseason in 13 seasons. I get that. But they're being judged as a Super Bowl contender. And week one, we gave them a pass because they were playing what we thought was the best team in the NFC and one of the best teams in football. Now, they laid an egg and didn't play particularly well against the Minnesota Vikings team, who's now 2-0. And so maybe that takes a little bit of a hurt that that Sam Darnold and the Vikings were able to do something that the Jets couldn't come close to doing. But this Jet victory is a good, solid win. I don't know. I saw the post-game talk-up speech from the coach to the team saying it wasn't a good win, it was a great win. I don't know if it's a great win. It certainly would have been a terrible loss, so they avoided that as this early part of the schedule kind of opens itself up. We talked about how they need to win these games. This is a very important. We talk about what 0-2 would mean. Jets couldn't lose this game. So it's a great win in the aspect that it avoided a disastrous loss, but I still saw enough from this offense in the second half to make me feel that I can count on this offense to get to a point where I think it's a Super Bowl caliber offense. And that's, again, what they're going to be judged on. They're not. It's not just about when you add Rodgers and you have this young talent and you're talked up this way, it's not just about being a winning team. And it's not just about getting to the postseason for the first time in 13 years. Yeah, those are things along the way, but they are judged on whether or not they can be a Super Bowl caliber team. And I have faith from what I've seen that this offense will get there. So Mike Williams make a big time play. I just talked about the impact of the dual, like the tandem at running back, and how explosive Breece Hall can be. And plus, if you had Allen, who gets two touchdowns in this game, the first time since the early 90s, I think, where the Jets had two running backs score touchdowns in the passing game. But Breece Hall's ability to attack in the passing game, what we've seen from Rodgers, it hasn't clicked just yet. And early in the game, I hated the pace of the play. I hated how slow they looked, how lackadaisical they looked in between plays. There was just something wrong with them in the first half of this game. It picked up in the second half. They did enough to win. And I believe we've seen the beginnings of a rusty Rodgers, a rusty offense that eventually, I firmly believe, will get to be a Super Bowl caliber offense. The question is, although we never thought this defense was the 85 Bears, right, and no DJ Reed is an impact, and now they've lost Jermaine Johnson. But is this defense Super Bowl caliber? Because right now in the first 2 weeks, obviously they got absolutely run over in the week one against the 49ers. But this game right here too, like, I just thought, you know, they gave up too much. They just gave up too much. Like, Will Levis was able to make plays down the field. Sauce Gardner did not have his best game. Now, we all have faith in Sauce. We know how good he is. Did not play a great game. They're going to have to, obviously the conversation now around Hassan Reddick is going to step up. But this defense needs to be much better. And this coach has got to get, I mean, for, you know, guy talked up easy fixes and everything, they still had major issues inside this defense. And they are judged right now at a high standard. This defense was supposed to be a given. This defense was supposed to be the strength of this team, Aaron Rodgers and this defense, but specifically what they've been able to do defensively and the unit they have here. And to start it off, the run game has just been something that has absolutely killed them. Now, they got turnovers, which has been an issue for them. They got a couple turnovers in this game. One, Will Levis just, I mean, Callahan, the coach, was just beside himself that Will Levis would throw the ball backwards like that going down. But this Jet team It's all based on, are they good enough to win a championship? And so far, 2 weeks in, I don't think we've seen a team that looks like a Super Bowl team. They're 1-1. The offense has, you know, shown enough here for me. I mean, Aaron Rodgers still makes the great throws. Aaron Rodgers still puts the ball right where he needs to put the ball. He got that offense humming in the second half a little bit. And I do think, you know, again, the Braylon Allen, I think that could be a interesting little running back tandem, a little thunder and lightning, short yardage around the goal line, give Breece Hall a break, allow him to be more active in the passing game and be able to make more explosive plays and not have to carry the load as much as you thought he might have to heading into the season. Like, I think that's a dynamic player. We saw, again, Mike Williams had a big play. Lazard's a different player with Aaron Rodgers under center than anybody else. Like, I just saw enough in this game from the offense where I do have faith moving forward in it. But this defense has got to shore itself up quickly. And it's going to lead us to the conversation about Hassan Reddick, because obviously they lose Jermaine Johnson, an edge rusher who was playing a great game. And now, clearly, that's where they're extremely thin here. You know, they allowed multiple players to leave at the end of last year in the offseason. And now this is a thin position for them where, I mean, Hassan Reddick now is needed. There's no doubt about it. He's needed. With the way this defense has played, now this injury, the Jets have got to get him on the field. I haven't been a proponent of it. I haven't thought at any time where we've seen enough where Joe Douglas would just, you know, go on bended knee and give him whatever he wants. But the fact of the matter is, this is a Super Bowl season. And while the schedule is, you know, relatively easy, they have a short week to go play New England, who's played far better than anybody expected. Obviously, winning week one against the Bengals was a shock. I thought they were going to get blown out by Seattle. And instead, they took them overtime. They're playing very well. Brissett's playing well. And they don't look like any kind of pushover. And New England and the Jets is always tough. So this Jet team right now gets a victory. You've seen enough from Aaron Rodgers, but this defense has got to play better. And they've got to overcome this injury. And then obviously Mosley with a toe injury. I don't know. Hopefully, I mean, I guess that the coach said in the postgame that they hope to have him back on Thursday. I'd be surprised. I saw Bart Scott in the postgame talking about, like, if this is some, okay, he had an issue with it in week one too. Like, if he's got a turf toe or something, like, this is something that hampers you all year, even if he's able to go. Is he going to be himself? Now, you want him out there just because he's the defensive leader. He's the play caller. He's kind of the brains of the defense. So you want him out there. But I don't know if he's going to be able to play on Thursday. And then even if he does play, this is the kind of injury that lingers. So this defense feels like anything but a given right now. And, hey, they bend but didn't break on the final drive of the game. They did enough to secure the victory. They made the plays when they absolutely had to. They got one win. You move on and you take on a team you absolutely have to beat. Like, they have to. There are a couple things this Jet team has to do, namely make it to the playoffs, but they got to beat New England twice. That's just plain and simple. You have got to beat New England twice. And it starts on Thursday. So a short week for the Jets after having a little bit of a brutal schedule here where they start, you know, both games on the road, had to travel a lot. They'll head home for a short week against a New England team that we all expected to be one of the worst in the NFL, and yet have a victory against a Bengals team and a very representative game against Seattle. So it's not going to be as easy as we thought. But hey, you got one win. Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback, and that's really the takeaway. Like, I know the defense, we're gonna focus on it because we want to make sure this team is a Super Bowl caliber, and they'll need the defense. But honestly, when you watch the games, just to see a capable quarterback of reading the defense, going through progressions, making the right read, putting the ball on target, making the good throw, like watching Aaron Rodgers play football, especially for us New York fans, because I'll incorporate even me as a Giant fan. Like, we haven't seen like real good quarterback play in forever. And while Aaron Rodgers isn't there just yet, you see glimpses of it, and he's still far better than anything we've seen in New York just as it is. But I do believe, you know, he's coming off a major injury, hasn't played in a long time, and he's just scratching the surface of what this offense can do. Because if the offensive line can block it up, I mean, you know how good Garrett Wilson is. We're seeing how good Breece Hall is. And now you've got a tandem in that backfield who can do different things and provide different strengths and just add another weapon to this offense, along if Mike Williams is going to get going, get healthier, you know, not be on such a pitch count. You saw him make a big play in this game. Like, Aaron Rodgers is the king of throwing to NFL open. Like, he puts it in the spot. You do not have to have separation. You do not have to be wide open. Aaron Rodgers puts the ball in perfect positions, and to watch him operate, as much as I do feel like it's not clicking on all cylinders, and especially to start the game, it looked low, slow and lazy, and just the timing and the and just everything about the offense at the beginning of the game felt off. They got to figure out a way to start these games hotter, but ultimately, they have Aaron Rodgers, and it's one win. And it felt good to get it. It felt good to watch some decent offense score some touchdowns and get a victory. 1-1, and you move on. You got a winnable game in 4 days. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. Neil in Irvington. What's up, Neil?
Hey, what's up, my man?
What's going on, buddy? How are you?
I'm fine. I'm fine. How you doing?
Good. How are you? I just need you to turn the radio down so because I can hear myself.
Alexa, volume 5. Yeah.
It's the first time I heard Alexa get just told.
Yeah, you know, I'm blind, so you know that's my means of everything, time, everything.
I got you. No, we live by it. I know.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So what do you got?
Well, I got the caller's calling about Bill Belichick coming to the Giants.
What about it?
Bill Belichick, 72 years old. Daniel Jones will give that man a heart attack.
Yeah, I mean.
They're going to start off 0-6.
They very well might.
And that's like Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson leaving the dynasty to coach the Lakers. He had Kobe and Shaq.
Bill Belichick's not leaving anything. Bill Belichick would be leaving a fantasy football show. Bill Belichick would be leaving. You know, Bill Belichick's currently not coaching a dynasty. He's sitting on his ass not doing anything. He's doing television work. He's making bad commercials for Underdog. Like, you know, he's not doing anything. And I just think, I know he's 72, but I just think I saw him. He looks fairly spry for me as a 72-year-old, and I think he believes that. Like, I'm not saying he wouldn't prefer. I don't know what he'd prefer. And if the right situation came along, maybe he'd take it. I'm just saying I don't think it's a no-go. I think people view the Giants situation like you clearly do. Like, they're a disastrous team. They're a terrible roster. Why would he want to come over here and build this thing? And I don't think that's a absolute he won't do it. In the NFL, you see things turn around real quick. I mean, you know, you don't have to have, like, Sam Darnold right now, just as Sam Darnold and a team that lost their quarterback, kind of retooled a little bit in Minnesota, is 2-0 and just beat the 49ers with Sam Darnold. Why can't Bill Belichick do that in 2 years at the New York Giants?
Daniel Jones. I'm
well, Daniel Jones won't be here next year.
I hope not.
He won't be.
I hope not.
He better not be. No, well, listen, he wasn't bad in this game. Today's not the day. I don't even want to try and take pot shots because there's going to be plenty of time for that. There's going to be plenty of time to talk about when Daniel Jones needs to be pulled because we're going to get there because you're right. With this schedule in the New York Giants, they're not going to win many games. So we're going to get to a conversation on when it's time to pull Daniel Jones. Moving forward with Daniel Jones, I think would be a horrendous mistake. They can't afford to make have his contract on the books and get hurt. So he's going to get pulled at some point. He's not the quarterback next year. I'd be very, very, very surprised if Daniel Jones is the quarterback of the New York Giants next year. But, I mean, that doesn't change the fact that for me, I do think Bill Belichick hanging out in the wings is something. And even if, like, and we talk about it mainly because I do believe this coach is on the hot seat. I do. I don't know how you're not. Like, if you think, like, what has he done to not earn being fired? I know they won a playoff game. I know. It's gotten worse since. And he's ill-prepared. Like, that's the thing. Like, from the beginning of last year, after that, if you take the second that final whistle was blown in the Minnesota game, from that moment on, it's been an unmitigated disaster. It's been Joe Judge. It's been Pat Shurmur. It's been Ben McAdoo. Like, let's not get it twisted. That's what it's been. They got absolutely dismantled by Philadelphia in the playoff game. It wasn't even a game. Now, I know they're super talented. I get it. But it wasn't even a game. Then you start last year 40-0 against the Cowboys in your building when everybody had you pegged for a playoff team. You have a miserable year. You lose to the Jets because you lost your kicker to injury. You come out, you have a miserable year. You come out this year. You get blown out by Sam Darnold and the Minnesota Vikings in your home. And then in the second game, you make the same mistakes over and over again. The defensive roster is pitiful. They're getting overrun by Jaden Daniels, who has making his second career start, really can't throw the ball, can't complete passes. All he can do is run, and he's beating you on 3rd and 13s. You can't get off the field. You allowed the Washington Commanders to score points on every single drive of the game. Again, the Giants didn't have a kicker, and Washington didn't need a punter. 3 touchdowns to 0, and you lost. They're making history. They're finding new ways to lose. Over and over again. Like, this has been as bad as Joe Judge. No stretch of a season and two games was as, this is as bad as any time under Joe Judge. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. We'll come back, continue to take your phone calls. We'll start to get into the baseball conversation as well, as the Mets had a tough weekend in Philadelphia. Lindor, with his back injury, getting pulled from the game yesterday, and where this team is right now, heading into an important stretch against the Nationals for 3. You get 4 against Philadelphia before that series against Atlanta, who you're now tied with in the wild card standings. And the Yankees take a 3-game lead over Baltimore as they continue to flounder and lose 2 out of 3 to Detroit. The Yankees take 3 out of 4 against the Boston Red Sox. And that great manager, Alex Cora, who, let's be honest, I know Boone had a situation there with his ace and walking Devers, and it cost him that game. But in my mind, Aaron Boone absolutely outmanaged Alex Cora at every turn in this series. Yankees take 3 out of 4. Alex Cora sounds weak to me, trying to rev his team up with a hit-by-pitch and an intentional walk, which absolutely failed as they lost 3 out of 4 to the Yankees and will be sitting home yet again. But, you know, that Red Sox team, much better, way better run than the New York Yankees. Alex Cora, far better manager.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I know. They won a championship, so that's what you get.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered! Derek Jeter homers to tie the game, and there it is, hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, Monday morning after week two in the NFL. An interesting week. A lot happened. Obviously, the Tua situation on Thursday. The Bills looking like, and certainly with the way Baltimore played in this game yesterday, Bills looking like right there with the Chiefs as one of the better teams in the AFC. I mean, a couple of real head-scratchers to me, I have to admit. I mean, Baltimore blew the game. Baltimore was up 10 points in the fourth quarter and allowed two straight possessions to go down the field, tie the game, get the ball back, do absolutely nothing. I mean, do absolutely nothing. Give it right back and write down Gardner Minshew and this Bills team. And this Raiders team go right down the field. Devontae Adams makes an incredible catch on the sideline. Just, I mean, this Baltimore team, how did they allow that game to happen? Coming off that opening night loss to Kansas City, to allow a 10-point lead to evaporate in the fourth quarter. I mean, just a disaster. And then Dallas. And that one's more shocking to me. I have to admit, they could have lost the game, sure. And you know, they lost. And I just said, you know, as shocking as it was for the Ravens to lose, they were 8.5-point favorites. Everybody figured they'd blow them out. You know, they lost in a final-second field goal. Like, okay, they lost the game. It's the NFL. The Dallas Cowboys have won, I think it's 16 straight home games during the regular season. Like, they don't lose at home. This offense has been the defense, the pass rush, the passing game. At home, they've been unbeatable in the last 2 years. And the Saints, who I think have one of the worst coaches in the NFL, and, you know, Carr is a talented quarterback, but I don't trust him in a big spot. And Kamara and that Saints team just absolutely run all over the Cowboys. They couldn't stop them. I think it's 5 consecutive touchdown drives. Just had no answers for this Saints team. And now, like, I don't know if I believe in this team, but it's hard not to say, like, right, they've just absolutely dismantled. Now, Carolina's awful and got absolutely nothing going again this week against the Chargers. But, I mean, they've just dismantled the two teams in front of them the first 2 weeks. So you wonder if the Saints are for real, but that's an impressive win going into Dallas and doing what they did. Very impressive. The Jags have now lost Trevor Lawrence has lost 6 consecutive starts. They get beat up by Cleveland in this game. Watson played a little bit better. Like, there was a couple of interesting things throughout this week. I mean, some puzzling things. I had a brutal, brutal, brutal week. Brutal. I got knocked out of this big... I didn't know where else to go. I thought this week was tough in the knockout pool. I don't think there were a lot of easy answers other than Baltimore. And I usually try and stay away from the big one, but I didn't see another clear-cut answer. I didn't. I mean, I guess now looking back on it, I wish I would have taken the Chargers against the Panthers. But the Patriots played really well. The Buccaneers have now, you know, established themselves again. Baker Mayfield has another good game. They take down the Lions at home. The Cardinals have an absolute just blowout of the beaten up Rams. Now, you know, Cooper Kupp is out. They don't have Puka Nacua. Now Kupp is gone. They're dealing with a bunch of injuries, and obviously that Rams offense, the Cardinals offense early on just absolutely took flight. They had an incredible start to the game. The Steelers are 2-0 after 2 games on the road going into the Broncos. I was dead wrong about that game. And then obviously the Chiefs Bengals is a great game. The Bengals do it, you know, and the Chiefs do what they typically do, where they don't cover these big-time favorites. The Chiefs are about to lose this game. Everyone's hung up on the pass interference. It was pass interference. Like, it just was. He ran through him. He hit his head. His head gets completely thrown down into his chest because, like, if he doesn't hit him, he probably makes the catch. That's pass interference. I know they get all the breaks. I know. But that was pass interference. So... But for our two locals, the Giants season's already dead. And the Jets are 1-1. Off a unimpressive but important victory against Tennessee. 888-808-1019. Paul in Buffalo. What's up, Paul?
Hey, Big Mac, I'll tell you what, you're right on about the Saints. Alvin Kamara is one of the more impressive athletes for me to watch because as he glides by everyone else on the field, it almost doesn't look like he's running as hard as everyone else, yet he's faster than them. I loved watching him thump the Cowboys today.
Yeah, I mean, I could not believe how they just ran all over him. I mean, whether it's, I mean, you Kamara took over the game, no doubt, with his touchdowns, but I mean, they were going deep down the field with, like, they just did everything. Offensively, they did whatever they wanted against a good Cowboys team and a good Cowboys defense that particularly doesn't lose at home. That was the biggest shocker of the week.
And one of the wild things that, you know, through the first half of that game, the Cowboys were dominating the time of possession.
Right.
But the Saints were just scoring instantaneously. From watching the Jets, just an objective view, I see a great running game with an offensive line that can run block quite well. But, you know, and to me, and Aaron Rodgers, when he was great, he was never a runner, but he was elusive. He looks like a statue back there. He has a golden arm, but he looks like a statue.
Yeah,
and that's going to be a problem if the running is stopped ever.
I think statue is a bit over dramatic, but I don't disagree that he's not. And he never was a runner, but you're right, he's elusive. He was the kind of guy, third and four, he'll find a way to you know, scramble and get you the 5 yards as he runs out of bounds. Like, he has typically been that guy. And there was a couple of points in this game. Obviously, you got when he threw the ball away and the wide receiver wasn't there.
Oh, 3:39
in the morning, intentional grounding. Thank you very much, Fleeman. I'm losing it sometimes. He's got the intentional grounding. Like, he took a bad sack after running around for a while, turned around and turned right into the sack when I thought he should have got rid of the ball. So some of that stuff is still coming back to him. I think he will be a little bit better at that as the season goes on. And I want to see, before I just determine that he's completely lost any sort of foot speed, I want to see a little bit more. But you're not wrong. That has clearly been the one element of his game that looks like he's aged and the injury has affected him, where he's not as elusive as he used to be.
Yeah, but he is smart enough. Like, that 3rd and 16, that's an Aaron Rodgers throw. Oh. And he changed the offense in that he was getting the ball out lightning quick, going with the short throws and turned the aggressiveness against him. So he's smart enough to do that.
Oh,
but
no.
If anyone ever stops the Jets' run game, I think it's going to be lights out for that offense that day.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, you need to run the ball a little bit. If any team becomes, you know, one-dimensional, that it's difficult to actually have a good game plan. But yeah, he's not a running quarterback. So yeah, if you get the chance to pin your ears back and go after Aaron Rodgers, he's not going to beat you running the football. He's going to have to get rid of the ball quick. But I don't disagree. But what you wanted to make a comment on the AFC East?
AFC East, I just see the Bills look really good to me. They have
a
very variable offense right now. It's, you got to pick your poison who you're going to stop. Like, week one, they chose to take Dalton Kincaid. Okay, Josh Allen completed 2 passes to 9 separate receivers.
Right.
Good luck.
The thing with them is, you talk about the run game with the Jets. If Cook is going to run, like, if they're going to get the run game going with James Cook like that, and he's running downfield and he's running hard, it's very difficult to stop the Buffalo Bills. It's very difficult to stop Josh Allen when he has a run game that he's able to lean on. You get that play action pass, you get him, you stuff the box against him, and he's able to roll out, get outside the defense, and make plays down the field. He's deadly. He's just deadly. He is so good, so talented. And, I mean, I think it's proof of what you're seeing, really, when either last year and 2 years ago, more specifically with the Chiefs, but you see guys who are just average wide receivers. You do not need, when you have Patrick Mahomes, when you have Josh Allen, you do not need dynamic, unbelievable playmaking wide receivers. The idea that Diggs left and that they were going to fall apart, or the idea that Hill left and we were going to really see what Patrick Mahomes is made of. He had the best offense in the league that year, scored the most points and won a Super Bowl. Like, you do not need, you just need serviceable, good guys who work within the offense and who can get a little bit of separation. You do not need the upper echelon wide receivers. And it's been discussed, and maybe we'll find out they're right about it with Buffalo. You know, the idea of Diggs wanting the football And the idea of it in being in the back of his mind, I have to get Diggs the ball, or like, because really last year they took off and they started running the football and Diggs' numbers went. Diggs stopped getting the ball and they started winning the Bills. Like the idea that he's not focused on making sure he gets it to a certain playmaker and being able to see the field and get it all over the place might benefit him. And right now I thought they would take a step back last year, and I thought I was right up until halfway through the season. This year, I thought they'd be okay, but they clearly look like... I thought the Jets or the Dolphins were probably going to be the best team in the division, and right now it clearly looks like the Bills. Zachariah in California. What's up, Zachariah? What's up?
What's up, man? First of all, I just want to say I do sports broadcasting out here in Cali, and I just want to salute you, my brother, for doing 5 hours solo dolo, and I'm not going to do a whole bunch of giving the host flowers because I know that's not great for radio as I do it. But for real, man, that is not easy. I've done like 4 hour shows solo. I've done 3 hours, but that's with guests and whatnot. You're doing that in the middle of the night. So for real,
middle of the morning, 5 hours. Yes, it's the midnight rides can be fun. They can be tiresome, but
yeah,
we're living the dream here.
No, I mean, yeah, for real. You get paid to talk about sports.
That's
no
right.
Complaints. I just want to say this from a completely outside perspective. I think for the Giants, this is kind of the best case scenario. No, I mean, I watched that game because I got like, as a sports broadcaster, I got like 9 TVs in my crib. So
yeah.
I'm watching everything at all times. I watched that game and I'm sitting there going, if you're a Giants fan, when Daniels threw that touchdown and he took the lead, I'm going, do Giants fans want them to win? Ultimately, and you saw from the Hard Knocks, right? We got knee deep into what goes behind the scenes with the owner, with the GM, with the coach, and all
right.
that. And I'm not here for firing Daboll or the GM, none of that. I said keep both of them. But you saw what they wanted to do. They wanted to move up because they know that Daniels is not the guy. So for me, and I'm not in favor of rooting against your team,
right.
but ultimately, if the Giants had won less games last year and not needed to move up and given a whole, I mean, best case scenario, basically what you got, look, you saw you have a number one wide receiver. You know you have a good defense. I believe
good defense.
So you don't think so?
No, I don't think so. They gave up a score on every single drive. They gave
yeah,
up seven all, straight scores. They gave they allowed
the,
200 plus yards of running. They gave up 215 rushing yards in the game. They couldn't get off the
but
field.
How many points?
I understand that 21, but when you don't give your offense an opportunity to score because you can't get off the field. The time of possession was 38 to 22 or whatever it was.
Like CMAC, if your defense gives up 21 points and you lose the game, that's not on your defense.
Did you watch the game?
Yeah, I did.
Then I'm sorry. I hear what you're saying. If you just look at it from a straight standpoint of, hey, you only gave up 21 points, you didn't give up a touchdown, where's the offense? They hardly had any possessions because the entire game was the Washington Commanders going down the field, taking up time. Like, they scored 3 touchdowns in this game. They didn't have a kicker because of ineptitude from the head coach. Like, the offense scored on half its possessions. Like, they didn't get the ball enough. I'm sorry. I hear what you're saying, and most of the time you're not wrong. In this game in particular, the offense wasn't, you know, dynamic necessarily. But it's hard to blame the offense and just say, hey, the defense only gave up 21 points. The defense allowed the whole game to be taken out of the offense's hands. The offense has got to touch the ball. Daniel Jones played well. The offense moved the football. They got 3 touchdowns. I understand you want to score more than 21 points. You need possessions. It wasn't just that they gave up points in every possession. Every possession's this long 12, 11 play drive, 8, 9 to 12 play drive where it takes up 6, 7, 8 minutes. Like they took up the whole game. I think the Giants only punted twice in this game. It's not like it's the first time in 27 games that they scored a touchdown in the opening drive. They had a fumble and they had 2 punts. Otherwise, they scored. And obviously the turn of downs on the last drive where Neighbors drops the pass. Normally I'm with you. 21 points, your defense didn't give up a touchdown. Why isn't the offense doing enough? But they didn't get enough opportunities. Could they have done more to win the game? I suppose. Could they have not fumbled on that first drive out of the second half? Yeah. Could Neighbors have made that catch? Absolutely. And I think it's fair to criticize him. He's got to catch that ball. But the offense really wasn't the issue today. Roscoe in Brooklyn. What's up, Roscoe?
So, C-Mac.
Yes, sir.
The offense wasn't an issue, right? We put up whatever.
I don't know if it wasn't an issue. It wasn't the main reason they lost today.
C-Mac, we've been worrying so much about Danny Dimes, right?
Yep.
But the kicker, our kicker, right? Our kicker from last year, who was hurt last year, came into effect this year, and we lost because of field goals, C-Mac.
Why is there? What's the matter with C-Mac? It's my first initial and the beginning of my last name.
You're saying
it with sarcasm. Like, what do you want me to do? I just said everything. You just said everything I just said. Why are you frustrated with me, though?
My parlay was beautiful, but we don't got a kicker. We ain't got a kicker now. You complain about Danny Dimes, but we don't got a kicker, C-Mac.
Well, I didn't complain about Danny Dimes today. He played relatively well.
The last caller I just said.
Hey,
the defense couldn't stop.
Correct.
We couldn't stop nobody.
Correct.
And then our kicker, C-Mac, we lost because of field goals when we score the touchdown, right? There's the extra point after the touchdown, correct?
They had an opportunity to get a two-point conversion, correct?
A couple of two-point conversions that we failed.
All right, so here's the thing. Like, even with the kicker, there's no guarantee they win the football game. You want to say it's the reason they lost?
C-Mac, we would have won. C-Mac, how much we lost by tonight, C-Mac? How much we lost by yesterday?
They lost by 3 points, the final second field goal.
Oh, the final second field goal. So the two-point conversion that we failed on.
You want to play the numbers game?
Point.
Well, here, let me. I'm just saying, listen to this, ready? You want to talk about the numbers? The Giants scored those two touchdowns. If they would have got the extra points, it would have been 14, right? Then on the third touchdown, there was a 4th and 4 that they converted and then ended up scoring a touchdown. You could very much argue if they had a field goal kicker.
We missed a lot of extra points.
You want to listen to me?
Back.
Do you want to listen or not? Okay, thank you. If they would have kicked a field goal in that scenario and only had 17 points instead of 18 points. It's not so much that they lost the game because they didn't have a kicker. It's that the coach allowed the situation to happen when he had information at his fingertips to make a better decision for the roster. They might have won the game if they had the kicker. They probably had a better chance to win the game if they had a kicker. But honestly, I don't know if the defense was so bad and couldn't stop a drive and they just were owned. And the time of possession, 37-22 or 38-22, rounding up, whatever. Like, they couldn't get off the field. They gave up too many field goals. They gave up too many scoring drives. They didn't let their offense have enough. And again, just to be clear, because a couple people have pointed out, it's accurate. I don't know what would have happened. You can't. The whole game might have been different if they had a kicker. But the point is, the Giants scored a touchdown on a drive where they would have kicked the field goal had they had a field goal kicker. They ended up getting it on 4th down and then going down and putting it in the end zone. So theoretically, they would have had 17 points instead of 18 points. And then on the final drive, instead of going for it on 4th, they would have kicked the field goal to have 20. They still would have been beaten on that last second field goal, 21-20. If you want to play like that, you can have a scenario where even with Gano making every single kick he attempted, the Giants still lose 21-20. They didn't just lose because they didn't have a kicker. That doesn't excuse the decision made by the coach, which is mind-numbing. And it's the same mistake he made last year, which is what bothers me. He didn't learn from his mistake. But it's not just fair to say if they have the kicker, they win the football game. It's not so. We don't know that for sure. This wasn't a missed Chip, it wasn't like the Giants had the ball at the end of the game and had to go for it because they didn't have a kicker where they would have had an easy kick to win the game. It's not the case. And again, they scored a touchdown on a drive where they absolutely would have kicked the field goal. They ended up with more points. 888-808-1019. Rick in Virginia. What's up, Rick?
Hi, Chris. I'm trying to get optimistic about the Yankees, but this upcoming road trip really concerns me somewhat. I don't know whether you've noticed that Seattle not only has a good starting pitching staff, but they also play very well at home. They're hot, and I'm not sure. And then they go to Oakland, and with the Yankees playing down to their competition consistently this year, I'm not sure a three-game lead is going to be enough.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, a couple things. One, I mean, you're trying to have it both ways. You got it where Seattle's pretty good. That's a tough matchup. And then you go, well, they play down to their competition. Well, they also have the best record against winning teams in all of baseball. So theoretically, they should They should play well against Seattle. But here's the thing. I don't know if – have you watched Baltimore, who've lost four out of their last six? Like, part of it is the competition. I'm not trying to say – I think the Yankees will be fine in this road trip. I'm not too worried about it necessarily. I mean, at any moment, they could play poorly. They certainly have shown that. But I just don't trust Baltimore to make it down to the finish. I just don't. And it's going to come down to that Baltimore series. But the Yankees are in good shape right now, up three with this many to play. I'm not overly worried about it. If you've noticed, how about the Yankees starting pitching? You mentioned Seattle starting pitching. Other than Cole in that performance, I mean, you look at it now – Nestor Cortez has been great the last couple of starts. Carlos Rodon has been really good his last couple of starts. Luis Gil has been really good his last couple of starts. Clark Schmidt has been really good his last couple of starts. And the bullpen, I have more confidence in the bullpen right now than I've had at any point this year. You got Weaver looking dynamic. Cousins has been good. Canely's pitching to an ERA under two. Even Clay Holmes has been his best version of himself the last couple of outings. And Tim Hill has been great. I mean, they've got five guys right now. And Hamilton. Like, they've got guys coming out of this bullpen that have been really, really good. The Yankees, other than the offense sputtering a little bit, I feel like they're playing as good a baseball as they've played.
I think also something that bothers me consistently is Torres at second base. I'm always counting on him making some egregious error that's going to come back and haunt them.
I guess. I mean, he's been so good offensively, though. He hits a home run in this game yesterday. He's been unbelievable in the leadoff spot. He's getting on base consistently. As a leadoff hitter, he's seeing more pitches than any other hitter in the American League. I get it. He might be prone to the mistake, and for whatever reason, his mistakes always come back to hurt the Yankees. Other guys can make an error, right? Like it's like Jazz Chisholm can make an error, it won't kill them. This guy can make an error, it won't kill them. Anytime Gleyber Torres makes an error, it always comes back to bite them. That's totally true. But right now, I'm not saying that it can't happen, and I know we all hate this team. Or a lot of the fans do, you have to really, really look for reasons not to be pretty confident right now heading into the last 2 weeks. Baltimore has just been awful. Their starting pitching's been bad. Their offense has been bad. They just lost the series to Detroit. They've been losing series left and right. The Yankees have picked up three games in the last five or six. Like, they're not playing well, and it's at the point where like people go, you're focusing on the other team. What about the Yankee problems? It's a competition between two teams. It's silly not to mention the other team. The Yankees don't have to win every game. They have to win more than Baltimore. And Baltimore's been terrible. And the Yankee offense scares me. They have not scored a ton of runs. They still have issues with runners in scoring position. And hopefully now Judge is coming out of it. And Soto's in still a little bit of a slump. But I feel like their pitching is as like if you want to be fair, like again, here we go. I gotta get Zach to make the sound effect. But here we go. Yankee shill take of the day. We've been complaining, myself included, about Brian Cashman and his inability to help this bullpen. And he went out the trade deadline and he got Leiter, who right now is the odd man out. I'm not even sure he's gonna be on the playoff roster. That's how bad he's been. And he should have done more at the trade deadline to help bolster this bullpen. But let's be fair for a second. Look at the names. And you know, a lot of people were like, the bloom is off the rose with Matt Blake. Look at the names right now in this bullpen. and look at how good they've been. And look at how good do you feel about the back end of this bullpen now. You're talking about Luke Weaver, who was a nobody, signed to be like the sixth man in the rotation, who's closing games and looking electric. You got Cousins, who nobody ever heard of, has one of the more devastating sliders in the sport and has been great. Canely, they paid money to. Hamilton was off the scrap heap last year. Tim Hill, I didn't know he existed. And then they made the trade for, obviously, Clay Holmes. Like, the back end of this bullpen that's been dynamic for 2 weeks now and is completely reassured. I feel so much better about this bullpen right now, just so much better. It's all guys off the scrap heap that Brian Cashman acquired and Matt Blake turned into legitimately good bullpen arms. Like, we talked at the beginning of the year that this is the one thing this franchise was good at the moment. Right? They're certainly not good at developing young talent. They're certainly not good at getting the most out of their young prospects who come up. They're certainly not good with developing starting pitchers or trading for starting pitchers or trading at the deadline. The one thing they were good at is building a bullpen out of nothing. And for a long stretch of the season, totally fair, a long stretch of the season, it looked like this was the year it was going to come up and bite them. But right now, for the stretch run, bullpen looks electric. Bullpen looks great. I feel uber confident about this bullpen. And here we are in the same position where, what's the big fear? Are they going to hit in the clutch? Starting rotation, rounding into form, other than Cole.